when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Blood River Radio family, that's a very emotional song to me. It's been played many times. It's been called once the saddest music ever played. It was the theme to Platoon. And oddly enough, it made me think of my little sister, Monica Braveheart Schaefer, who's going to be on just a second, because she is huge in music. She's a big musician. But I have very few friends left from Vietnam, and one of my dearest friends who helped me a lot actually saved me once. He recently passed away, and I have several friends from that area who have brain damage, probably from chemicals, endless vaccinations, not to mention the physical and psychological trauma. But that was a theme song to Platoon. The man who produced Platoon was a Vietnam vet. He was with, I believe, the 23rd Infantry. I can't be for sure, but he was up close and personal. But I played that just to salute all Vietnam veterans. Jay-Z from Blood River Radio's own AZ happens to be one of them. He has the Purple Heart to prove it. He was up close and personal, Lynn Harms way. And I just think about all my Vietnam vet buddies. A lot of them didn't make it home. A lot of them came home but didn't come home, if you know what I mean. But anyway, with that, and Sister Braveheart is a great musician, and I thought about her. And before, I know it's kind of weird the way I switched gears on a dime, but we talked about Scott Ritter on that last hour. Scott Ritter is a great man. We'll get Rand. I didn't know Rand was going to stay on. We'll get him to tell you a little bit about Scott Ritter, but he's leading. He's trying to put together a march on Washington to stop another damn war, another stinking Jew war. That will kill, not this time, just they say 58 million of our brothers in Vietnam, probably 158 million. but will kill millions. And it's another damn Jew. They're setting aside, rubbing their hands in just glee. We're going to kill more goyim in Russia and the Ukraine. We're going to have these little empty head, little dumb bastards with no fault of their own. They're young and they're easily impressionable. Get them joining the army and the Marines and going in and dying and killing other white people. We have to stop that some kind of way, people. It's not our stinking politicians. It's we the people. We have to do it. And don't tell me, oh, well, you might go to prison. Screw prison. When you want to go to prison, you want to get blown away by an all-out war with Scott Ritter. If we can find out if Scott Ritter is really going to do that, me, Iran, and Matt are going to go to it. Before you bring Sister Breakheart on, Rand, please tell us just a little bit about Scott Ritter, and then we got to turn the rest of the microphone over to Sister Braveheart because she's giving up her precious time off to come in here to help us out on this program. And folks, she's a huge, huge, huge part of this program. Without people like Sister Braveheart, there would be no Blood River Radio. Go ahead, Rick. Go ahead, Rand.
Yeah, just real quick, Eddie. I appreciate you carrying me over for a few minutes. But Scott Ritter, I've been listening to him for several months now on Judging Freedom with Judge Nalapatano. And, people, if you haven't heard him, go to the YouTube channel of Judging Freedom and just pull up some of the archives and listen to his commentary on what's going on in Ukraine and what you're not hearing from the mainstream media. And, yes, you know, for instance, several months ago, they had a summit in St. Petersburg in Russia, and Scott Ritter was detained and was not allowed to go to that summit in Russia. So I can't encourage you more or any more than to go and listen to Scott Ritter, listen to his commentary, and just take a few minutes and listen to this man and what he says about the war in with Russia and the Western aggression to push Putin and the Russians to doing something that they don't really want to do. And I believe that with all my heart, that they do not want to escalate this war. But if you listen to all the talking heads from the U.S. media and the Western media, they're still name calling. They're like kindergartners. They're like first graders with our commentary. And I just wish that somebody with reason would step in and be a voice for the West, if they would allow it. I don't think they will allow it. But anyway, without further ado, I know I'm rambling on. I just turn it over to you and Miss Monica.
I'll just end what you said by saying, do not be surprised how these people who are trying to start the last war the Bible talks about, Armageddon, because they are these Jews. The Jews, Jesus Christ nailed them. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the devil's deeds you will do. And the devil wants to destroy everything God made. He wants to destroy the entire world. He especially wants to destroy white people. Now I'm going to shut up. The rest of this program is Sister Monica. She has a lot of great quotes to talk about that we talked about previously before, but she's added some. And plus, we have to talk about this endless brainwashing that the Jew is inflicting upon our white people. It's been the South in the 60s. It was with the poor Negro. Now in Canada, it's with the Indians, the Eskimos. And Sister Monica is going to elaborate that. We're up against a break, but the rest of this hour is Sister Monica. How are you doing, little sister Braveheart Monica?
Thank you, Eddie. I'm doing very well. And hello, also, Ran. Just on your commentary about wars, if the young men and now men and women who go off to war, if only they knew before they went off to war, all idealistic, thinking they're fighting these wars for great causes, for freedom, for this and that, if they only knew that they are fighting these wars always on behalf of the Jews, and in general, all these wars, they're always dying for some other race. So, you know, World War II, they went off thinking that they were going to take down, you know, a monster who was wanting to take over the world. And in reality, they were fighting on behalf of the Jews, for the Jews, and killing each other, killing other white people. And so it is with all these wars. And Vietnam, it was all deceptions. It's always based on wars fought for the Jews, like you were saying, Eddie. Exactly right, what you were saying. And I do hear
right
the music.
Back. Go straight back to you, Sister Braveheart. Be right back, folks.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd especially like to put out a shout out to my friend Jim in Washington State, who I know he loves Sister Monica, and rightfully so. Brother Rich is a big, huge fan of Sister Monica. I'm just, thank God we have her. Thank God she has us. We're all glued.
Eddie,
we're all family.
You're embarrassing me now. You're totally embarrassing me now. Stop it, please.
Well, I will. But anyway, listen, I know you're your true self, a little spitfire, a warrior. We're going to go right back to you with that because you're... continue with your commentary. You're talking about the war. It's always a Jew. But go ahead, Sister Monica.
Yeah, and you did ask me to read some more quotes today, and I do have some in front of me. But the one that really is relevant to what you were talking about concerning the wars and coming back from Vietnam, and I'm sorry about the death of one of your last friends that you knew from that time. But this is from Rabbi Reichhorn, 1859. He was a chief rabbi in France, so he's not just some nobody. He was a pretty high up creature in their world. This is what he said: "Wars are the Jews' harvest, for with them we wipe out the Christians and get control of their gold. We have already killed 100 million of them, and the end is not yet." And then sometime later, he said this, the same guy, "We shall drive the Christians into war by exploiting their national vanity and stupidity. They will then massacre each other, thus giving room for our own people." So that is the general attitude of the Jews towards us and how they exploit us and our qualities to deceive us and trick us into killing each other off in these wars. And like they say, wars are the Jews' harvest. And I mean, you can interpret that in many different ways, not just that they always get rich because they're always, you know, funding both sides, they're getting rich off the armaments and all that, all of that, but also their harvest in terms of what he said, we kill each other off, make room for them. I just am sickened by that. And the more I learn about what the Jews are doing on this earth, the more I am absolutely compelled to fight this, in this epic struggle we are in, till the last breath that I draw. And I guess I'm doing it in the way that I know how. Other people, you know, everybody can do something. Some people are better at other kinds of activities and jobs. But for me, I guess it's to try to enlighten people, to try to educate people, to try to help people understand what we are dealing with, so that we can make better decisions in our lives, and so that we can defend ourselves, and that we take the right measures, do the right actions, so that we can ultimately win in this epic, epic struggle, this war that we find ourselves in. And we did not start this war. We did not want this war, but we are in it. So that is what we absolutely have to recognize and know and understand. And if you cannot name and know who your enemy is, then you really don't have any chance of winning in this war. And so that is why we keep on talking about and naming the Jews. And, you know, when we say that word, the Jews, that is just so forbidden. And very many people are still at that place of being in, you know, poisoned or mind controlled or indoctrinated to flinch at that word, the Jew, even if they are awake about a lot of things, like people who woke up during COVID, that was all a lie, people who have started to figure out that, you know, the official story about 9/11 is all a lie, and even people who have figured out that the Holocaust is all a lie. And yet a lot of people still shrink back, still flinch at this term, the Jew. And sometimes they'll say, oh, we should call them something else, like just call them Zionists, or call them the bankers, or call them, you know, the whatever you want to choose. Even
the isn't there globalist.
That great quote? the globalists, whatever, they're still code. Shrinking away. But I think that because exactly that is why we have to use that term, the Jew, because that, I mean, why do they not want us to go there? It does basically unveil them. It just removes a veil from our eyes of who it is who is wanting us dead or enslaved. Over to you, Eddie.
You absolutely, you know, and you nailed it. It's never these wars, Sister Monica, it's never a war, not even in my great grandfather's lifetime, where we were defending our county or our state or even the Southeast or the United States. We're not defending the border of the United States. In my case, in your case, it's defending the border of Canada. We're always going across the ocean, man. Even in the First World War, when air, you know, there was no air travel, but it was a hell of a journey to cross the Atlantic and the Pacific. It really was. And yet, to defy, I forgot which founder it was that said that we shouldn't go across the ocean in search of monsters to destroy. The monster is the Jew. But we always do. We went across the First World War. I don't know how many American soldiers died in the First World War. And listen, not only that, I had a great uncle who was in the First World War. He was never right again. His mind was totally destroyed. I mean, horrible, horrible. But it's always white brother against white brother. I challenge you to get a platoon or a company of German infantrymen together and standing them together with a platoon of American infantrymen from the hills of Tennessee and Kentucky, and with some of the Russians and the French, and tell me which is which. It's all white brother against white brother. Whether it be in the Field of Flanders, one of the few poems I ever memorized was in Flanders Field, or whether it be a Verdun, or whether it be at Stalingrad, or whether it be maybe in the South, in the Civil War, but mainly when we're talking about the huge, incredible meat grinders of the First World War and World War A and World War B, World War One and Two, and I'm repeating myself, millions. Nobody knows how many millions of precious people, young men in their prime, the flower of life, to slaughter. Then after the war, and after this World War Part B, Part Two, then the entire Europe, especially Germany, the women were raped. Just entire and these wonderful allies. Oh, the American soldiers were the savior. It's been said. We'll talk about it in February, especially when we do Dresden Month. But the American soldiers were some of the worst rapists in the whole damn bunch. They were barely any better than those Mongols from Russia. When you hear about the Mongol soldiers raping people, I mean, the Russians, it was primarily, I've been told, by people like Thomas Goodrich, who wrote Hellstorm. It was primarily the Mongol soldiers that came behind the white Russians were the spearhead, the foreigners. I'm getting kind of off topic there, kind of astray. But once again, if I repeat myself, I'm just going to repeat myself. It's always millions and millions and millions of white brothers against white brothers killing each other, and the Jews are never there. To quote the bitter ender, Gene. A couple of weeks ago, we were doing a show, and we were talking about the Vietnam. And he said, and I'll second it, he never saw a Jew but private. I think in the Marines, they call them the Lance Corporals, things like that. In the Army, we just call them buck privates and buck sergeants, etc. But he never saw one in combat. The only Jew you'll ever see is probably what they call the lawyers. They call it the JAG, the judicial advocate. Maybe back in maybe some doctors or something. But yeah, I ain't never seen nary a Jew in combat. And I'll say this too: how many soldiers from Israel would you see? Well, they didn't have Israel then, but I guarantee double damn to you, they didn't have any. Regiments, like even the Japanese, there was a famous Japanese regiment that fought in Europe in World War II. I think the Fighting 440th Infantry Regiment. You never saw any Jewish regiments fighting in World War II. You never saw any. They never will. If I'm a little astray, I'm sorry. But how many planes from Haiti have you seen landing in Israel? How many non-whites have you seen migrating through plane, train, automobile into Israel? They have machine gun towers there. They have mines. They machine gun the hell out of anybody that's trying to come into their country. So the Jews, just like Sister Monica said, war is their harvest. You're damn right it's their harvest. And not only war, they use flooding us. What they can't do by killing us, they flood in our country by doing away with their borders, by doing their bad food or bad medicine, you name it. And we're going, people, we got a 5-minute break here, so get you some coffee. It's going to be kind of a long break. We'll go right back to Sister Monica when we come back. Hang on, folks.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. How? Well, its unique formula of ingredients helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free. And for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. So give it a try. Right now, their three-week quick start is just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number for relief. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
Well, a number of small business owners have had a mostly positive reaction to a judge's decision to strike down an overtime rule that would have qualified more workers for overtime pay.
Earlier this month, a federal judge in Texas blocked a new rule from the Biden administration that would have expanded access to overtime pay to millions more salaried workers across the U.S. Nearly all hourly workers in the U.S. are entitled to overtime pay after 40 hours a week. Many salaried workers are exempt from that requirement unless they earn below a certain level.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. U.S. Navy making progress in deploying its first shipborne hypersonic weapon. Workers at a Mississippi shipyard have finished installing missile tubes on the USS Zumwalt that will replace twin turrets from a gun system that was never activated. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Well, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife releasing a new plan to protect the state's iconic Joshua trees, which are imperiled by wildfires and, in some cases, humans who just don't care. The 294-page draft plan includes calls for avoiding or minimizing direct and indirect impacts from overgrazing, pesticide use, and unauthorized off-roading. The plan also says land where the trees grow should be protected. The first big snowfall of the season is threatening to bury towns in New York along Lakes Erie and Ontario as the holiday travel and shopping weekend begins to wind down. Numbing cold and very heavy snow could persist into next week. State of emergency has been declared for parts of New York, making it a problem for Thanksgiving travelers to get home. More on these stories, townhall.com.
This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio fan, we're going, without further ado, we're going to go right back to my little sister, Sister Braveheart, Monica, the Braveheart, the Lionhearted Shaper. Go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Yeah, just 2 points to segue directly from what you were talking about in the last quarter, Eddie. One was, you made the point that very few Jews are actually fighting, like there very few Jews actually get into the trenches, as it were. And I do remember seeing a note being circulated on the internet. I'm sure you saw it too, a letter that was, that came out for the Jews, that they would, don't worry, we'll get you your doctor's notice, so that they could evade the draft. And, you know, so the Jewish people, the Jewish young men, they could just avoid the draft by getting this doctor's note that would excuse them on some health reason or other, just made it up, right? So there's that one part. The other part I wanted to segue on is that, you know, you mentioned if you put all these, you know, maybe the men from the American South, and then men from Germany, and men from White Russia, and different folks all together, and they wouldn't be able to tell each other apart, essentially, like who's fighting whom here. So, yes, we're fighting brother wars. And I would say that the best image of that is the World War One scene, Christmas Eve, and we're coming up now soon on Christmas. Christmas Eve, they were in the trenches, and they came out of the trenches and sang together, Silent Night, perhaps other songs. They sang together, and then they went back, and I think the next day or in the next days, they resumed shooting at each other. Now, is there any image that better illustrates that these are pawns, these soldiers are pawns who are fighting on behalf of somebody else, that they weren't interested in killing each other? Those soldiers, they would have just, you know, rather have gone home and be with their families. And there they were singing together. And really, I think there's no better image of that than that Christmas Eve when they sang together, coming, you know, came out of the trenches of the opposing, you know, forces, and then go back to killing each other. Now, who and why? Why were they killing each other? Certainly not because they hated each other. No, it was on behalf of somebody else. Over to yes. You, Eddie, and then I'll talk about this other story, this Canadian story, because it all relates to the war on whites. But over to yes. You comment.
In fact, I just made my notes Eskimos. Is that way I wouldn't forget to remind you, but evidently you do not forget. You know, it's funny, Sister Monica and I must be, I know we're joined to the hip, I mean joined to at the soul, joined to the brain. I was thinking of that very same episode, that very same scene. It's a true story where the soldiers, I don't remember, I think it was the First World War.
Yes, it must have been, because it was the trenches, right?
Correct. They
got out of the trenches. And the German soldiers, I'll just interject here, one of the pieces of equipment that they all got, at least during World War One, I do not know if it was the same in World War Two. Very likely, but I do know this about World War One. They, part of their equipment, standard equipment, was harmonica. And these are very portable little instruments. And so they all had harmonicas. And so it, you know, that's part of their tradition, singing and music. And I mean, it's very cultured, isn't it?
Yes. And, you know, also they exchanged, they shared wine together. The Europeans were more into wine, I guess probably the American beer, whiskey, et cetera. But they toasted each other, drank with each other. They were brothers. And like you said, you had music, loved each other as white Christian brothers, you know, for a while. It's so insane. I was thinking, Sister Monica, when I was thinking about this the other day, why couldn't they just do, like, when I was drafted and I heard some of the hippies say, it's so true, what if they gave a war but nobody came? It's kind of like a war is a big picnic, big slaughter, a big killing pen, a big killing field for us goyim, a stupid air-headed goyim. But that was so sad and so heartbreaking. Those people, you could, just like Sister Monica said, there was no hatred between them. They didn't hate each other. They were both double first cousins. If you took the Americans and put them in the German trench, put the Germans in the American trench, they would be one and the same if they could switch uniforms. The Jews, the people driving the war, could not tell the difference between them. So why can't we wake the hell up and stop slaughtering each other? And I'm going to shut up after saying this one more thing. Why does a great country, a great nation like the Ukraine, allow one stinking homosexual dwarf Jew who his term has even run out, is whatever the hell he is over there, dictator, whatever he is. His term has run out. His term of office, but he's still there. He's a damn Jew, and he shut down the churches in Ukraine. He's persecuting the people in Europe. These stupid people in the United States, these stupid Southern Baptists, these United.
You're cutting out, I do believe.
Sister Monica, I'm going too long about that. You have a great story that goes right in to what we've been talking about. If they can't kill us one way, they'll kill us the other way. They'll kill our young people's brains by inflicting with them horrible self-hatred, horrible self-guilt. And in the American South, especially starting in the 60s, it started with the poor. They were talking about the poor, poor Negroes. The Southerners were so hard on the Negroes. And now they switched. They're using the same tactics in Canada. Sister Braveheart, tell them about that.
Yeah, and just before I get into that story, just lest I be accused of not doing my research properly, I should look this up, because I said that the German soldiers were issued with harmonica, and I said in the First World War, and I'm not sure about the Second World War, but it might be the other way around. I'm not sure. I do know that at some point they were issued, it was standard issue with harmonica as part of their gear. And so I'm going to make a note to myself to look that up, but not at this very moment, Eddie. But, you know, that doesn't take away from the point I made about the singing together. Everybody can sing. We all have voices. But anyway, in Canada, well, I have mentioned before about, you know, some of these issues around the so-called unmarked graves, and, you know, went around the world in headlines, and then, you know, Canada has declared that we committed a genocide against the Indians in those residential schools and whatnot. And so there's been a lot of money flowing to the so-called First Nations, the Aboriginal people. There's been all kinds of stuff going on like that. There's so much. But right now, the latest episode in this saga is something that I can personally comment on, because my parents came to Canada. Well, my father's motivation to come to Canada was to go to the Eskimos in Canada's north. Now, we don't call them the Eskimos anymore. They are the Inuit, but at that time, that is what they were called. So that's why I use that word, and I'll use those words interchangeably: Eskimos, the Inuit. Okay, so the Canadian government last week issued another apology and a long string of apologies to all these people who are non-whites, by the way, in every case, for alleged past wrongs. And in this case, the apology was to the Inuit of Northern Quebec, so, and Nunavut regions, for the slaughter of over 1,000 sled dogs in the 1950s and 60s. And thereby destroying the way of life. And now the survivors are not only did they get the apology, but also $45 million comes with this. I looked up a few statistics on them. The average or the median age among the Inuit now is 23 years of age. So do they really, like, they're getting $45 million for what? Now, I know that we're going to bump up against the break here very soon, but I do want to tell you a little bit about why I have some questions in my head about this story. Because my parents did live in the north in the 50s, and then even after they moved to Edmonton, and that's where I was born. So I was born and raised in Edmonton, Alberta, so that's no longer the Arctic. But throughout the 60s and 70s, my father still spent a lot of time in the Arctic. And yes, I do hear the music, but after the break, I'll tell you a little bit about those sled dogs and, you know, the change in their way of life that did occur.
Can't wait to hear as soon as we come back from this break, Sister Monica. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Cool, they're red, white, and blue.
Well, our precious Blood River Radio family, you're going to go right back to Sister Monica before we run out of time. Go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Okay, I promise you I would tell you a little bit of a different perspective on the so-called slaughter of dogs, sled dogs, husky dogs, that those evil, you know, RCMP or the police officers or whoever else was accused of doing this. And now they're, you know, the Canadian government, that's coming from all of us, paying into this $45 million to the Eskimos in Nunavut. Okay. When the skidoos started to appear in the north, there were many Inuit people who purchased skidoos. And I know this from many of the stories that my father told us, because I wasn't yet born, but we were steeped in the Inuit culture in my home as I was growing up, and many stories and whatnot. And one of the things he had told us is he was not in favor of the Eskimos abandoning their sled dog lifestyle and, you know, traveling with a sled dog to go travel hunting, for example. There's many advantages to having dogs over skidoos. Now, the skidoos were maybe easier and more convenient, of course. I mean, so the Inuit would have bought these, and it was quick and easy, and rifles, that's part of the modernization. It was easier to go hunting with rifles and skidoos than with, you know, spears and harpoons and dog sleds. Now, my father was one of those people who encouraged them to hang on to their old lifestyle, but of course, some of them did and some of them didn't. Some of them went over to the skidoos. And now, can you possibly imagine the scenario that as some people are switching over to skidoos, that maybe, just maybe, some of the dogs were perhaps being neglected, maybe some of them were, you know, running wild a little bit. They're no longer the focal point of their existence in terms of, you know, maintaining them and keeping them for survival purposes, for travel, for hunting. Now, I'll tell you another little story just to put some more context onto this. I mean, this is just one anecdotal story. However, these things happened. My father was a medical doctor, and there was one little toddler that he had to do multiple hours of surgery on, painstaking surgery on, putting this child back together again, stitching head and scalp, face and everything with, I don't know how many stitches, I think it was in the many dozens of stitches that this child required, because the child had been mauled by one of these dogs. Now, I don't know, I don't remember, did the child get too close to where the dogs were kept, or was the dog running loose? I don't know those details. I also don't know, was that dog shot after this happened? Is that now counting as one of the dogs that was slaughtered by the Canadian government or by the police or whomever they are accusing of, and now that, you know, they have received an apology for? I don't know. That is just one anecdote, but these kinds of situations did happen. Now, did that journalist or any of the journalists, any of the reports about this story, did any of them mention that, yes, there was a change in lifestyle? They were, you know, getting skidoos, they were modernizing. Doesn't mean that happened overnight, but perhaps there is more to the story. But no, they only make it out like those evil, you know, colonial white men who slaughtered over 1,000 dogs in the 1950s and 60s, and thereby ruining the lifestyle of the Inuit people. And now we owe them an apology and $45 million. So is this not still, does that not smack of more white guilt, war on whites? On and on it goes ad nauseum, Eddie. So I had to write a letter on that, and I did. I sent that off this morning. I sent it to the CBC journalist with copies to some of the members of parliaments, and blind copied many people. And I will publish that on my website. That's freespeechmonica.com website. It's not up yet. I'm going to, you know, put some pictures in there and maybe add some details when I publish this letter. But in the next day or two, if listeners are interested to go to my website, you can read it for yourself, the letter that I wrote. And yeah, this is on it goes about our white guilt. But I did think it's important to maybe put another perspective on there, because I personally know a little bit about that era in the Arctic. So there you go.
I would say, you know, more than a little bit. You know, I was really amazed and fascinated the first time I learned that your father was a medical doctor to the Inuits, the Eskimos. That I thought that was, that took one heck of an individual, you know, not just a run-of-the-mill person, but I would have 1,000 questions to ask about that. But that, I didn't want to get us too far off the story. But isn't that just like our enemy to take the a story and completely twist it, to completely turn it around to where it doesn't even resemble any, for even remotely resemble the truth, to resemble reality? I had mentioned several other things. during the break to Sister Monica that they do connect. If in any given situation, anywhere in the world, not just with the, you know, the evil white colonials flooring these dogs. I mean, how pathetic. That story doesn't even, like I say, remotely resemble reality. For instance, like in Haiti, we hear about, oh, the poor Haitians, these poor feral blacks in Haiti. They're so primitive. They're starving. They don't have this. They don't have that. They've been that way for 250 damn years. You know, one reason why they're such piss poor shape is because they slaughtered every single man, woman, and child. They raped women, slaughtered suckling babes, and threw them in pits.
The blacks, white women and
that's
men,
right?
Right.
That's
yeah,
right.
You forgot to mention they slaughtered the white people.
Yes, in mass. And now, raise your hand if you ever even heard that mentioned on in a textbook, a radio program, a TV program, a newspaper. That's never even mentioned it. And I got to make this quick. Several years ago, I was working out downtown. You've heard me talk about working out on the Riverside Drive stairs. A man tried to recruit me and say, oh, we would like to get sign you up to run this 5K, and all the proceeds go to Haiti. And when I told him, the airhead, what happened in Haiti, he told me, well, I've heard that, but I proved to not believe that. I don't believe it. Yes, he wouldn't. I mean, it's the same thing with the Mau Mau uprising in South Africa, how they slaughtered men, women, children, and dogs. It is going on today, but you never hear that. I mean, when you do hear anything about it, the truth is totally warped, Sister Monica.
I didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead, Eddie.
The young people
have been so indoctrinated into this basically self-hatred mode now, and I'm talking about young white people. For example, a lecture that I watched the video of at a university by Francis Widdowson, who is a professor who was fired for speaking truth about these unmarked graves, that, you know, just simply pointing out that there's no evidence, and she's open to the idea that some murders might have happened if we get the evidence, right? But anyway, the question period was the most interesting, because these were all these, you know, young students, and they desperately were clinging to this narrative that our ancestors were evil, and they did the genocide. Even after this excellent lecture, and then, you know, I mean, Frances Widdowson, she could explain it in 10 different ways, that there simply wasn't any evidence to show that there were any bodies in these so-called, you know, mass graves or unmarked graves and whatnot. And she gave a very good, you know, everything she said was logical, true, could be checked out, documented, everything. But they were clinging to the narrative that it happened, that this murder happened. Why wouldn't they be relieved and happy that it didn't happen? That reminds me about the Jews who get mad when we point out that less of their ancestors died than they thought. They thought 6 million were murdered in gas chambers, and we're telling them, no, none of them died in gas chambers. There were some Jews that died, you know, from starvation, typhus, all the rest of it, just like a lot of other people did. Why wouldn't they be just gleeful in joy and relief? Wouldn't that be a more logical response? Now, this is how it is with the young people who have been indoctrinated with this white guilt. And really, I would say that this empathy gene that we have, and some people will call it altruism, but pathological altruism, they'll call it pathological, because when we are infiltrated by an enemy, this altruism gene can be really used against us. And that is exactly what has happened, isn't it, Eddie? So
yes,
it's a wonderful trait, this empathy trait, but when it is weaponized against us, this is the result. We have people self-hating us in the white race, which is something we really, really must work hard on to turn that self-hatred around, turn it back into pride for who we are and our ancestors.
It's a suicide gene.
So It is. Well, it's only when we've got an enemy that's, you know, true, as diabolical as there is. Because I think it's a good gene. We shouldn't be, you know.
Well, we've got to go to a quick break. Hang on. I'm going to speak to you before you go. Be right back, folks. Okay. We're transitioning to the third hour. We're going to pick up my serious son, Jason Robb. Be right back, folks.